Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
Welcome back to this Defined by Moments series, where we're looking at one of the most cherished passages of Scripture, the 23rd Psalm, but we're doing so through the lens of leadership. You know, as I said in the first two components of this project, we've always heard and talked about servant leadership, but this one, we're looking at shepherd leadership. So where we are now going to make a shift in this view, our first two episodes focused on the surrender of a leader as well as the satisfaction of a leader. That's your theory that's behind this idea of shepherd leadership. But now we are turning our attention to practicality, to the implementation of what those two parts of theory mean and how they work their way out. This third episode we will call The Strain. The strain of shepherd leadership, and all the effort here is on the part of the shepherd. The sheep are being acted upon. The shepherd is active for their benefit. He is working for each individual sheep as well as for the good and the betterment of the entire flock. So as we have done each of these times, and we will continue as we turn to the 23rd Psalm, we're going to read all of it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For this specific aspect, looking at the strain of shepherd leadership, we're going to look at all of verse 2 and the first statement of verse 3. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Now let's make sure that we understand that sheep are grazing animals. That means that the shepherds, it is incumbent upon them to find pastures that are not only good grazing ground for those sheep, but they're safe. Sheep are defenseless animals. They depend completely upon the shepherd for protection from predators. So these areas need to be those that are not always, you know, accompanied by predators, that the shepherd is going to have to expend his effort in running those predators off. Because there are other things that he needs to look at. He needs to make sure that he has a place for these sheep to be able to eat. They need to graze, but not only that, they need to then rest. But once they have grazed, once they have rest, they've got to move on. Because if that flock of sheep, depending on its size, if it stays in that one area too long, it will attract the attention of those predators. So this shows that the shepherd is looking after their physical needs, but he is also looking after their emotional needs, where he is trying to make sure that they are free from predators. He's caring for them, and he's going the extra mile. Now, we're going to talk about that in just a minute, because you'll see what I mean. So not only are sheep grazers, but sheep are just like us. They have to have water. You know, and that meant that they would wander. They would wander from pasture to pasture. So the shepherd would have to have planned a purposeful route, not only knowing where those safe pastures are that have good grass, that are free from predators, but he would have to have planned that route so that they would be able to find water. Now, there are some scholars that believe the typical watering time during this time was around noon, but you know, I don't know that. I would just have to rely upon their expertise. But we know that sheep would have to be watered at least once a day. Sometimes these watering holes would be shared by multiple herds, and that often created conflict. I mean, take your Bibles if you want to afterwards, but flip over to Exodus chapter 2, specifically verses 16 through 22. This is where Moses, who has, you know, fled from Egypt, he is now in the land of Midian, and he comes upon this watering hole where these daughters of, you know, his soon-to-be father-in-law are tending the sheep, and they're being run off by these other herdsmen. So what takes place here is water was a precious commodity. So the shepherd would have to know where he could go, but he would also have to know how to be able to avoid and deal with conflict along the way. You know, we can see that, you know, in this instance of going back to, you know, the story of Moses, but also one in earlier in Genesis, you know, some wells had been dug and there was a stone cover that was to be placed upon them. That stone would be rolled off, water would be drawn up, provided to the sheep, and then the stone replaced. So you had wells. There are streams that, you know, these shepherds could take that flock to, but note the language. He leads me beside still waters. So this water here would not be rushing, because again, sheep are totally dependent upon the shepherd. Their only defense is to run. So they would be very timid around waters that had any kind of a current to them. We often see this as, wow, these sheep are being finicky. No, that's just who they are. And quite frankly, as we've talked about in the past, we're sheep. And we're just like these animals. But the shepherd would take them to still waters. But if things became worse, where there was no stream that they would drink from, if there was, you know, no well that had already been dug, in certain instances, they could dig shallow wells between 4 to 8 feet deep, and they would have those sheep that they would be able to be watered. But all of this goes back to the fact that we see that there is a strain upon the shepherd. There is a lot of effort that he is having to put forward, a lot of time, a lot of planning, in order to do what's right by his flock. The amazing part to this is what David does in this next section. He goes on from saying, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. So I've been fed. I have an opportunity to rest. He leads me beside still waters. He gives me refreshment. But then that opening phrase of verse 3, he restores my soul. Now, let's just be honest. There are often times that this passage is taken and folks start talking about how God really refreshes our soul. That is absolutely true. But in this instance, what David is doing is he is writing a statement where he is putting out that, in fact, he is a sheep. Because if the shepherd is restoring my soul, then what is he doing? The shepherd is taking care of me. The shepherd is giving me the water that I need. The shepherd is allowing me to rest while he fends off predators. The shepherd is taking me to pastures that I am able to eat from. The shepherd is planning the best for me. If he's restoring my soul, then I'm a sheep. Now, you might be thinking exegetically that's a little weak. No, it's not. If you dig into the Hebrew here, you'll see that this word for soul is not referencing some kind of a spiritual aspect, that the application that is often made here, but it's actually physical. In other words, you know, David, in writing this passage, is saying, he restores me. He gives me back what I have lost. This aspect of restoring here, in some other translations, you'll see the word, you know, there, instead of restore, you'll see refreshing. It literally means to turn back to a starting point. In other words, the sheep are tired. They're worn out. But the shepherd, through his gentle care, his proper planning, he takes them back to that point where they began. He gives them that strength back by giving them food, water, and rest. When I was in college, a group of friends of mine and I decided to go up to this local hiking place. We were young. We were stupid. We didn't take water. We didn't take any food. We just went and we hiked. And we were up there 6-7 hours, just had a blast. But when we came down, I was worn out. I was weak. I was tired. I had a headache. I mean, all of that, I was dehydrated. I didn't have food upon which my body to be able to draw strength from. But once we got somewhere that I was able to eat and get water in me, you know what happened? It's just what's pictured right here. My soul, me, physically me, had been refreshed, had been restored, had been taken back to that starting point. So clearly, there is a major strain that the shepherd exerts on the benefit for these sheep. If you are going to practice shepherd leadership, then you will do the same thing. And really, we've got multiple things that we can walk away from here. And let's start with this. Number one, shepherd leadership is knowing, going, and showing to keep that flock growing. You don't learn things. You don't go and do things. You don't lead so that you get a pat on the back. It's always focused on what other people need. That's what a shepherd does. You know, again, we talked about this in one of our earlier episodes. The New Testament word for pastors is shepherd. The imagery that is being presented is that of looking after a flock. And there are hard truths in Scripture that we need to hear. And quite frankly, at times, many pastors in our modern day avoid those. Why? Because it's difficult. They don't want to have to say those things, but you know what? That's exactly what the flock needs. You know, a shepherd of a flock physically would not see, you know, a lion or a wolf come and starting to scatter the flock and go, you know what, I really don't want to exert the effort right now, so I'm just going to let them do whatever they want to do. No, that shepherd would be on his feet actively working to protect the flock. And that's what we need pastors to be doing today, to teach the whole truth of God, not just the partial truth. But for us that are going to use this model and how we lead others, we need to do the same thing. We need to make sure that we are knowing, we're learning, we're going out, but we're showing others for the purpose of them to grow, not for us to gain rewards. There is a major difference. Secondly, here, you know, we've heard this old adage that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. There's truth to that. But there's also another truth that we need to apply to that, and it's this. If you know how sheep think, then you can get them to drink. A shepherd that knows sheep will not drink from a stream that has a heavy current will never take them to a stream that has a heavy current. Why? Because he knows the sheep. So that steps us back. If we're going to adopt this as a model that we want to use to lead, then how well do you know the people that are under your care? I'm not talking about being, you know, best buds, but I'm talking about having a relationship with them so that you know them and they know you. You know, we talked about this with where we're looking at the satisfaction aspect. You know, the contentment of the sheep, it comes because they have trust in the shepherd. And where does that trust come from? It comes from a relationship. It comes from the experience that they have with the shepherd always doing what should be done. So we see here that shepherd leadership is knowing, going, and showing to keep others growing. Secondly, we see that if you know how sheep think, you can get them to drink. And thirdly here, safety can only exist when someone is satisfied. You're thinking, Joel, where is that in this passage? Well, what does verse 2 say? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. So this sheep has already grazed, may have received water at that point, but either way, that animal is laying down to take a nap. He's resting. An animal will only rest when they feel safe. And that safety comes from where? It's the satisfaction of the shepherd. Back up to verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. What? I shall not want. I have all that I need. Why? Because that first part of verse 3, he has refreshed me. He has restored my soul. So this aspect of physical and emotional safety comes from knowledge of the shepherd. But you know, there's another corollary here that we need to make sure that we understand. I said earlier that we often look at sheep and think, wow, they're picky, that they won't drink from a flowing stream. It has to be really still. Well, you have to be still in order to refill. You know, if my son, if he asked me, Dad, hey, can I go pour myself some more milk at supper? And I said, sure. But as he was coming to pour his cup, I grabbed a hold of it and I start moving it around and just having him guess where the cup's going to be. You know what's going to happen? He's not going to get a lot of milk in that cup. It's going to end up all over the table, all over the floor. And my wife is not going to be very happy with that mess. That is the truth. If we want to be refilled, then we have to get still. We have to rest. And what does David say later? One of the Psalms, he says, be still and know that I am God. So this has two pieces here. One for the shepherd, you need to get still. You need to rest. You need to relax. You need to refresh yourself to be the best for your people. And quite frankly, Americans, we're awful at taking time away from work. Even when we take time away from work, we often are working, and that's not good for us because we're not able to return refreshed. But the second part of this, since we are sheep and we are following the Great Shepherd, we need to get still and we need to listen to learn from Him, because God is going, He knows what to do. He's going to show us what to do, and He's doing all of those things for us so that we can be closer to Him. So as you look at this model of shepherd leadership, there's a lot of strain. There's a lot of effort that will tax you physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. It's hard work, but it's also good work. So let's go back and let's get our running start from the beginning, and we will pause and stop to close this session right where we are. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Thank you for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back in the not too distant future, and you take care.